Hernandez, along with their companions. These were the ultimate anti-terror commanders in the world. They fought against those terrorists who were threatening humanity with beheadings, crucifixions, and killings in mass. General Soleimani devised the military strategy which caused their defeat in the region. So why did the U.S. kill them, and why hasn't the United Nations made Washington pay for its crime?
Iran's anti-terrorism icon was assassinated by the United States military in the Iraqi capital Baghdad on January the 3rd. Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani was the highest-ranking commander of the Quds Force of Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps. Soleimani played a key role in strengthening resistance movements across the region. The commander took part in different battlefields to lead resistance fighters. A quiet, charismatic man, a strategic genius, and a tactical operator who spent most of his life in combat. Soleimani first set foot on a battlefield in the 1980s when the newly founded Islamic Republic of Iran came under attack by former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein. Soleimani was at the time a young man in his 20s, fighting tirelessly to defend Iranian soil against the aggressor. After 8 years of war, Soleimani emerged battle-tested and battle-hardened. He became a national hero and a beloved commander in the IRGC. Soleimani and the forces under his command soon became one of the instrumental players in combating terrorism in Iran's southeastern areas and in Afghanistan. But the most important chapter of his military career started when he became the chief commander of the IRGC's Quds Force in 1998. General Soleimani strongly supported the Palestinian cause. He spared no effort to strengthen the Hezbollah resistance movement in Lebanon. During the 33-day war between Israel and Lebanese resistance fighters in 2006, General Soleimani went to Lebanon to oversee the battle against the Israeli regime. The fight against the Daesh terrorist group probably marked the climax of his anti-terror endeavors. During the tough campaign against Daesh, he was often seen in battlefields in Iraq and Syria. General Soleimani was the brain behind key operations that paralyzed the monster terror group and rolled back its advances. Soleimani has long been a household name in Iran and many regional countries. His presence in the battle against terrorism gave people a sense of security. It is no doubt tough for them to deal with his loss. People in Iraq and Iran are still mourning the loss of their anti-terror icon. Soleimani's funeral processions have become a symbol of unity. Following the US assassination, regional resistance groups pledged to remain steadfast on his path. The general is no longer among us, but his martyrdom seems to have given fresh blood to the resistance front.
I'd like to welcome my guest to the program, founder of Al-Qayyim Seminary out of Qom, Mehdi Taib, and from the Islamic Human Rights Commission out of London, Reza Kazem. Welcome both of you to the program. Well, let me start it off with Mehdi in Qom. The U.S. had said that it was fighting against terrorism, and yet Donald Trump admitted that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton created Daesh. So which is it? Does the U.S. support terrorism, or is it that the U.S. is actually the leading terrorist under the guise of fighting against it?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It's good to be with you guys again. Good evening, Marzia.
Good evening. Thanks for coming.
Well, it's known for the people of the world that the main supporter of terrorism today is the system of the United States of America and the allies of the United States. The United States today is the symbol of imperialism, and especially and specifically the people of this region, they know that. They know that they've come all the way from America to this region to take over the resources of this region, and we do anything and everything, the property or anything else, they do everything in their power to take control of the resources of this region and to divide the people of this region and conquer, and also to safeguard the existence of the of Israel. So it's a joke to come and assassinate someone who's been fighting terrorism his whole life under the name of freedom, under the name of fighting with terrorism, someone who's known for fighting against terrorism, and the people of this region love him dearly. What the United States of America did under the administration of Trump, by the order of Trump, was not something that the people of this region nor the people of the world can accept, and they didn't accept it. Mm-hmm. You saw what happened after the assassination of General Qasem Soleimani in Iran, not only in Iran, in Iraq, in Lebanon, in Pakistan, basically in this region, and how people expressed their solidarity and their love for General Qasem Soleimani all around the globe. So this joke of fighting against terrorism that Trump and his administration or presidents before him, like Obama, say, it's a lie, and people know it's a lie, and they're the main supporters of terrorism.
Okay.
In this and all around the globe.
Okay. Well, Raza, what do you think that the U.S. wanted to accomplish by killing General Soleimani, and what have they accomplished?
I think we need to understand that there is a lot of arrogance that exists within the attitude of the United States. It feels that it can do anything and get away with it, because to a large extent, over the 20th century, one of the things that has marked it is the number of places that America has intervened, invaded, etc., etc. The previous guest talked about the imperialism and American imperialism that existed, and that's something that it has got. What has happened here is that it has been told no. It has been stood up to. It has been fought against. The agendas have been fought against. It has been directly attacked here. It has been directly targeted in many ways. And it felt that at this point in time, in all the arrogance, and while it was Trump that made this particular decision here, we need to understand it's not about just Trump. Every president that I've read about in the United States has been repulsive. And in terms of his actions with regards to the situations that have gone on and its imperialism and so on, leave alone its own domestic policy. So we need to understand that this has been an action of arrogance, that it felt that it could do this and it could get away with it. It felt that it was there was a kind of thing, because its agendas of promoting Daesh, ISIS in the region had failed. Its ability to be able to have the kind of influence that it wanted, not just influence, it was more than influence, the hegemony that was required by Washington in terms of complete control of the land, the resources, the minds of the people, was something that is it's incomprehensible and it's unacceptable to the United States regime to be able to get that. And with something that was embodied in Qasem Soleimani was that spirit of resisting everything that America stood for and its oppression against the people of the region. So I think, and the other thing that it wanted to try and do was cement the concept of promoting division between Arabs and the old Arab-Persian thing, the Iranian-Arab thing, and trying to promote that. And it was hoping that by fomenting that kind of division within Iraqi society and within there, that they had succeeded, and therefore they would cement this by targeting. That's one aspect of it. And it singularly failed because there was such a huge reaction to this that I think no one would dare to stand up to remember Qasem Soleimani and Abu Mehdi al-Muhaddisin in that region, and in terms of what they'd actually achieved.
Right. Interesting what you've just said. Interesting what you've just said, Reza, because actually, turning to Mehdi, we just finished listening to a speech by Sheikh Qaisal Ghazali in Iraq, and he says, as a matter of fact, one of their goals was exactly what Reza was saying, trying to divide Iranians and Iraqis. And as a matter of fact, with the assassination, with the killing of General Soleimani and Abu Mehdi al-Muhandis together, that they were actually brought together eternally, he says. Even parts of each other's bodies were buried in the other country, that it has actually cemented the unity and the brotherhood of Iranians and Iraqis. Your take.
Well, you beautifully stated that what happened made the two nations more united. They have been planting the seeds of discord between the two nations over the last decades. They've been trying to divide the people under different concepts, nationality or race or different things. The Iranians and Persians dislike Arabs, or Arabs dislike Iranians and Persians. But what happened in this assassination, which was based on a miscalculation again from the administration of the United States, caused a unity, a stronger unity between Iranians and Iraqis, between Iranians and Lebanese, between Iranians and other nations. So right now what we have is what the leader of the Islamic Republic and other leaders of the resistance said, that the blood of Soleimani is far more dangerous than Soleimani himself. The blood of Soleimani has united the people of Iran within Iran. The blood of Soleimani has united the people of this region. The blood of Soleimani has empowered the resistance line. The blood of Soleimani is far more powerful than Soleimani himself. And let's not forget that Soleimani was just a commander, a general. Soleimani comes from a school that has been taught by the teachings of Imam Khomeini, by the true teachings of Islam. And by the assassination of one general, this path, this school, won't be stopped, and it will grow as a beautiful quote that Imam Khomeini says, that kill us, our nation will wake up, and these bloods that are on your hands will wake the people and will make our eyes open. This is the beauty of the concept of martyrdom. Qasem Soleimani was fighting ISIS, was fighting imperialism, was fighting terrorism and Zionism in this region, but he wasn't alone. You see how he predicted the existence of Daesh maybe a year or a couple of months before they attacked different countries. It wasn't Qasem Soleimani alone, it was Qasem Soleimani's team. Qasem Soleimani managed to train different people, different soldiers, just like himself. He wasn't...
Okay, stay with me, Matthew. Sorry, let me get Reza back in on this discussion. Well, Reza, other leaders of the resistance, such as Secretary General of Hezbollah, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, and also the head of Ansar Allah, Abdul Malik al-Houthi, have both stated that one of the main reasons that General Soleimani was targeted was because he not only stood against the hegemon of the United States, but also the anti-Zionist, anti-Israel stance and pro-Palestinian policy. I'd like you to talk about that side of things.
I think that's absolutely clear. There's no arguing with that. That's something that was there. And I think it is, they'll do well to actually remember that when Mohsin Hujjaji was killed by ISIS in the way that he was, Qasem Soleimani promised that ISIS will be cleared and all of that region will be cleared of any kind of concept of a physical Islamic caliphate, as they'd termed it in that way. And that promise was achieved. And what we see in this particular thing, that the people of Palestine themselves have said that he is the Shaheed al-Quds, the martyr of Quds. And I think it's said for a reason. The structure, the infrastructure that Qasim Soleimani, along with Imad Mughniyeh, had actually created within Palestine, in terms of the tunnels, in terms of the provisions, in terms of the arms, in terms of the training, and so on and so forth, are something that are going to last for a very long time. You cannot take away the training, you cannot take away some of those things, that lessons that have actually been learnt by the Palestinians, in terms of making sure that they have the ability to resist, and resist effectively in terms of an armed resistance. And I think that's something that needs to be understood, that he was someone who was out there and going into Gaza. You know, who would have thought it? Unless it had actually been said, I think most people who were actually supportive of the resistance would not necessarily have imagined that this is something that could have actually happened, who are talking from the outside. And I think we need to understand that this individual and the infrastructure that he created, that fearlessness, you know, going into the battlefield in the way that he does, there are so many clips of him being, when there is even under fire and so on and so forth, that he's there. That creates a level of prowess, a level of resistance, a level of confidence that people on the front line will have, that these people are not coming from the, you know, for example, sending troops to die, like what happens in Western establishments, that this person, the commander, is actually standing on the front line and doing what needs to be done. So even the enemies, when you look at their documentaries, are you know, amazed by what he is as an individual, regardless of whether they agree with his ideology or not. And I think that combination of spirituality and so on, and that infrastructure with regards to Palestine that had actually been created by him and nurtured and nourished over a number of years before he came out of the shadows and came out into the open, this was something that has been, you know, there's a reason why they don't like him in the British government and the American government. And I think that's something that needs to be understood, that, you know, when you stand against the imperial, you know, the Zionist colony that still exists here in that region, it's something that will be something that is going to be problematic for them.
What about that, Mehdi? Isn't dealing with what Reza just said about dealing with Zionists, because General Soleimani also, do you not think that prove that the Zionists are not invincible as they like to project themselves, nor are the Americans exceptional? Your take on that?
Well, what the Americans are trying to do is that to show a strong image to people through the power of their propaganda and Hollywood, that, okay, we're the number one in the world and no one can you know, defeat us. And Israel is also a power that no one can defeat. But the reality is, Qasem Soleimani, General Qasem Soleimani, and the leaders of the resistance, because they're dealing with the American army and Israeli army here, they knew the reality of who they are and the reality of their power. So they were accurate in their estimations, they were accurate in their information, and they knew the American army and Israeli army are very weak, and they're not what Hollywood and their propaganda is showing to people.
Okay, so, I'm sorry to cut you off, Mehdi, but I only have 1 minute left. I want to throw it back to Reza. Now, Reza, what all of the resistance leaders that we've heard speeches from, Yemen to Iraq to Lebanon today, all of them saying, reiterating that American forces must leave the region, and they're not going to accept anything but that. Your take.
I think one other point I'll quickly make before I address that particular point is regarding the role of G4S, and we've seen some of the highlights in terms of identifying that G4S played in the Iraqi airport and the way that it was actually conducted. And I think it's not just about removing the American presence, it's also about looking at the detail of some of these security companies that exist and target, and making sure that they're removed from Iraqi soil and Iraqi security infrastructure, because they're the ones that are part of the problem rather than part of the solution. The other aspect, in terms of the devastating vengeance that has been promised, America needs to decide what it's going to do, which way it's going to go out. You know, are they going to go back in body bags, or are they going to go back, in terms of the way that they are? You know, at the moment, that devastating vengeance has been promised. The Iranians went ballistic, and they classified that as a slap. So we need to understand that when they really are going to be, causing problems, that there are going to be lots of issues, both within Iraq and outside of Iraq and in the region, if the Americans continue to stay. It's something that's been stated right across by all of the resistance movements, and I think that's something that's inevitable.
And on that note, so sorry, Reza, I'm so sorry, but we are straight out of time. I appreciate both of you being with us. Mehdi Taib out of Qom, from the founder of the Al-Qayyim Seminary, and Reza Kazem from the Islamic Human Rights Commission out of London. And as always, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi, signing out for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and we're going to be with you with another edition of Insights into the Holy Quran. And in this edition of the program, we'll discuss the 22nd chapter of the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Hajj, or Pilgrimage. Before moving on, let's just listen to some verses of this chapter, and we'll be back with you. Stay with us.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. الشيطان في أمنيته did not send before you any messenger or prophet, except that when he spoke or recited, Satan threw into it some misunderstanding. But Allah abolishes that which Satan throws in. Then Allah makes precise his verses, and Allah is knowing and wise.
Brothers and sisters, in the previous program, we finished talking about the 51st verse of this surah, chapter Al-Hajj, and the 52nd verse starts saying, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ وَلَا نَبِيٍّ إِلَّا إِذَا تَمَنَّى أَلْقَى الشَّيْطَانُ فِي أُمْنِيَّتِهِ فَيَنْسَخُ اللَّهُ مَا يُلْقِي الشَّيْطَانُ ثُمَّ يُحْكِمُ اللَّهُ آيَاتِهِ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. And we did not send before you any messenger or a prophet, but when he desired, the Satan threw into his desire. But Allah will cancel anything that Satan throws in. Then Allah does establish his signs, and Allah is all-knowing, all-wise. In view of the fact that in the former verses, the speech was about the effort and endeavor of the pagans to wipe out the religion of Allah, and they used to mock and ridicule it too. In this verse, the Quran warns that these plots of the opponents are not something new, and somehow these satanic vain temptations have ever existed in the way of the prophets and the people of truth. It says, وَمَا أَرْسَلَّا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ وَلَا نَبِيٍّ. We did not send before you any messenger or prophet, إِلَّا إِذَا تَمَنَّى أَلْقَى الشَّيْطَانُ فِي أُمْنِيَّتِهِ. But when he desired, the Satan threw some vanity into his desire. But Allah never left his messenger alone with the rush of these satanic vain temptations, and he vanished them all, and then he strengthened his signs. So the Almighty Allah says, فَيَنْسَخُ اللَّهُ مَا يُلْقِي الشَّيْطَانِ. Allah will cancel anything that Satan throws in. And this deed is really easy for Allah to do, because He is all-knowing, He is all-wise, and He is completely aware of all these plots and plans, and He knows well how to nullify them. Dear listeners, in the concept of dua and supplication, one of the most important things is the recognition of Allah. We should know who we are talking to, and one of the important aspects of knowing and true recognition of the Almighty Allah is the feature of all-knowing, all-wise, that He is completely aware of all things. This means I can truly rely on Him.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic
we
approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
The Almighty Allah, being the all-knowing and all-wise, knows how to nullify the satanic plans and plots. That's why the verse says, فَيَنْسَخُ اللَّهُ مَا يُلْقِي الشَّيْطَانِ. Without any stop, without any pause, يَنْسَخُ اللَّهُ. Almighty Allah cancels anything that Satan throws in. Then the verse continues saying, ثُمَّ يُحْكِمُ اللَّهُ آيَاتِهِ. And then, Allah does establish His signs. Not only does not Allah allow the satanic plots to be thrown in, but He also establishes His own signs. It's just like the verse that says, يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. Some people want to put down and stop the light of Allah to achieve people, but this is all in vain. Anyway, the verse continues saying, وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. But Allah is all-knowing and all-wise. This is the reason the Almighty Allah is easily nullifying the satanic plots. And one more point regarding the 52nd verse, dear listeners, is that there are some believers with whom Satan contacts and tries to establish the connection between them, but they immediately understand it and banish him. But there are some others that Satan is always with, and the Holy Quran in this case says, for him a Satan, so he becomes his associate. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program as well. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
The bustle of life. The sound of living. Only sound will endure.
Hello.
IRIB English Radio.
Around the world with reporters.
Tehran University has held a ceremony to mark the anniversary of the U.S. assassination of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. Iran's Minister of Science and Technology, who was attending the ceremony, said that universities and academic centers have great capacities to keep the path of Qasem Soleimani alive by studying different aspects of his personality and beliefs.
General Qasem Soleimani was a great person. His personality had different aspects. I believe that academic centers should study his behaviors and personality. I think his lifestyle and beliefs serve as a good role model for all the youth of our country and the world. We have great capacities and potentials at universities and academic centers in this regard.
The event in Tehran came as people and officials attended a ceremony in the city of Kerman, the burial place of General Qasem Soleimani, to remember his lofty status 1 year after his martyrdom.
The martyrdom of General Qasem Soleimani had a big impact on the minds of people, both because of his own personality and what happened after his martyrdom. Therefore, for a researcher and expert of social sciences, his martyrdom provides a wide range of topics to study.
General Soleimani, the commander of the Quds Force of the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps, IRGC, and his trench mate Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis were assassinated along with their companions in a U.S. terror drone strike near Baghdad International Airport on January 3, 2020. Meanwhile, in response, the IRGC targeted the U.S. airbase of Ain al-Assad in Anbar province in western Iraq to retaliate the U.S. assassination of top Iranian anti-terror commander Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. Moreover, according to Iranian officials, Tehran has filed a lawsuit against the U.S. for assassinating General Soleimani, and soon a court session will be held in Iran in this regard. Iranian officials believe that more than anything, the U.S. assassination of General Qasem Soleimani has proved to the global public opinion that the U.S. administration is the leading sponsor of terrorism in the world. Saman Kujuri, Tehran.
In gratitude for their sacrifices in confronting America, Israel, and the Houthis in the region, Yemenis held an event to commemorate the first anniversary of the martyrdom of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani and his companion Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis in the presence of the Iranian ambassador and representatives of the Islamic Resistance Movement.
Today, we live on the martyrdom anniversary of the two leaders, Soleimani and al-Muhandis. Remember the positions of these two heroes to stand by the nation's causes. Haj Qasem Soleimani gave himself to Palestine and the resistance and was intransigent in front of the projects of the Zionist enemy through which it wants to break up the region.
The participants recalled the actions of the martyr Soleimani and how he terrified America and Israel, which thought by assassinating him to weaken the resistance forces, but contrary, it lit a fire that would not be extinguished until the liberation of Jerusalem al-Quds and the demise of global arrogance.
We commemorate the two great martyrs, Haj Qasem Soleimani and Abu Mahdi Muhandis, who strived for God's cause and are loyal to God and did what they were required to do. God gave them wisdom and strength. They were great people, and we should follow their path.
The martyr Soleimani was an icon in the face of the Zionist entity and its projects. He played a great role in supporting the Palestinian resistance movements and stood by the Iraqi Popular Mobilization Forces in its battles with Daesh in Iraq.
Once again, Yemenis have taken a resolve to continue the legacy of General Qasem Soleimani in the face of years of aggression against the impoverished nation by Saudi Arabia and some of its regional allies and their Western backers. Abdul Latif Al-Washali, Sana'a.
Crowds of people as well as officials have flocked to Sayyida Zainab Shrine near Damascus to pay tribute to Iranian top commander, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. In an address to the ceremony, Iran's ambassador to Syria said General Soleimani was a symbol assassinated by the U.S. to force Iranians to kneel, stressing that the resistance front will triumph and take revenge of Soleimani's blood.
The Iranian nation will never sit back against those who carried out the crime. Those behind the crime will be punished. Iran will continue supporting Syria and its army until the Syrian army's sovereignty is restored on all territories.
Other speakers underlined the effective role of martyr Soleimani in defeating Daesh terrorists in Syria and Iraq and foiling Western plots across the region. Representative of the Syrian army in the ceremony praised General Soleimani as a brave and wise commander who won the trust of all resistance fighters.
We have gathered here today tribute to martyr Soleimani. His sacrifices will not be forgotten. We will continue adhering to resistance as a sole option. We promise martyr Soleimani that his memory will be our path.
The crime of assassinating General Soleimani amounts to international terrorism in its ugliest form. General Soleimani's assassination is a great loss to Iran, Syria, and the resistance front. But thousands of Soleimanis are yet to come.
Photos of General Soleimani were also showcased in and around Sayyida Zainab Shrine. General Soleimani, who was assassinated by the U.S. in January 2020 in Iraq, led Iranian military advisors in Syria for years across Syrian territories, mainly Aleppo, Damascus, and Deir ez-Zor. His command played a major role in restoring stability to hundreds of square kilometers in Syria. General Soleimani's significant achievements in Syria cannot be forgotten by the people here. Syrians have marked his first martyrdom anniversary by showing appreciation to his support and acknowledgement that security in so many areas in Syria wouldn't have been possible without his presence. Hamad Ali from Sayyida Zainab Shrine, Damascus Countryside.
People have gathered here in Kabul to pay respect to the bravery and the leading role of two significant figures against invading forces and foreign-backed terrorists, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani and Afghanistan's national hero, Ahmad Shah Massoud.
Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani and our national hero, Ahmad Shah Massoud, were close friends and comrades in the region. Their sacrifices have not been fully highlighted yet, so we need to know them more than ever.
Given the fact that Afghanistan has been repeatedly invaded by some superpowers, mainly over the past two centuries, resistance is considered a familiar concept among the nation. Afghans have had some top resistance leaders like Ahmad Shah Massoud, a national hero who became the victim of a terrorist attack back in 2001. His characteristics are very much similar to that of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani in the eyes of Afghans.
The U.S. expected to remove the name of Qasem Soleimani from the minds of resisting nations by assassinating him. But contrary to those expectations, he became a popular hero, not only for Iranians, but also for all resistance nations across the world, just like Massoud.
Afghans and Iranians share many commonalities in terms of history, culture, religion, and security. Many people here in Afghanistan believe that one of the major similarities between these two nations is their resisting spirit against the invaders. This event in Afghanistan marks the memories of two well-known resistance leaders, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani and Afghanistan's national hero Ahmad Shah Massoud. This comes as Afghans themselves are suffering from terrorism and are seeking to follow the path of these two heroes. Syed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
A year has passed since millions of Iranians attended the funeral service of slain Iranian military figure General Soleimani. Now, on the first anniversary of his assassination by the U.S., his fellow citizens in Kerman have once again come to his burial place to pay respect to him. Soleimani was the commander of IRGC's Quds Force, which is in charge of conducting overseas operations. He was killed in a U.S. air raid outside Baghdad International Airport on a direct order from U.S. President Donald Trump.
We strongly demand that the Islamic Republic take harsh revenge. This is the demand made by all Iranians who owe their security to the efforts of General Soleimani in the fight against the terrorists.
General Soleimani is well known as the nemesis of the terrorists in the region. He played a key role in dismantling Daesh terrorists in Iraq in 2017 and helped liberate major areas in Syria from the terror group. That's what makes everyone question the U.S.'s drive behind his assassination.
General Soleimani brought the U.S. to its knees in the region. The U.S. sought to trigger chaos in our region by creating Daesh, but General Soleimani helped unite the people of the region and foiled Washington's attempt by defeating Daesh.
Following Soleimani's assassination, massive crowds of people in Iraq took part in his funeral service to pay respect to him. This was followed by million-strong processions in Iran, the last of which was held in his hometown before he was laid to rest.
Tehran regards General Soleimani as the architect of U.S.'s defeat in the region. His role in dislodging Daesh terrorists won him huge support and popularity, not only among Iranians, but among the people of Syria and Iraq, who say his assassination created a united front against the U.S. Yusuf Jalali, Kerman.
Iran has marked the first anniversary of the U.S. assassination of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani and Iraq's PMU commander Abu Mehdi al-Mohandes. The ceremony was attended by a small group of people from all walks of life and senior officials due to anti-COVID health protocols. Addressing the ceremony, Iran's judiciary chief Ayatollah Raisi has warned the enemies should await Iran's harsh revenge for the killing of Iran's top general Qasem Soleimani. Ayatollah Raisi also said the assassination of anti-terror commander Soleimani will fail to undermine the resistance front.
By assassinating the hero of the fight against terrorism in the region and the world, the creators of Daesh and Al-Qaeda imagined that the resistance front would become weak. But they are wrong. The resistance front will never lose strength. The assassination of General Soleimani has injected fresh energy into the spirit of resistance among people of the region.
Moreover, head of the Quds Force of the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps, Brigadier General Ismail Qa'ani, said Soleimani was the hero of defeating arrogance.
General Soleimani was the man of resistance and logic. His path will continue. Those who assassinated him should be prepared for harsh revenge. General Soleimani was the hero of defeating arrogance. He is the hero of the Iranian nation and a hero of the Islamic Ummah.
A number of foreign dignitaries, including senior officials from Islamic Jihad, Iraq's Hashd al-Shaabi, and Lebanon's Hezbollah, as well as Yemeni ambassador, were among the participants at this event, who talked about different aspects of the personality of General Qasem Soleimani. One of the foreign dignitaries who attended the ceremony was Hashem Safieddin, senior official of Lebanon's Hezbollah, who said the resistance movement should continue the path of Soleimani. He also noted General Soleimani and assassinated Iraqi commander Abu Mahdi al-Muhandas protected the world against the Daesh terror group.
Qasem Soleimani was a peaceful man because he became a general. He has been fighting for everyone. He has been fighting for humanity. Such people, we need them. Such people, there are few in this world.
General Qasem Soleimani was a man of resistance. His behavior and his beliefs taught the lesson of life. To all freedom seekers, he is a role model. He was a symbol of the fight against oppression. His name will remain in history forever.
General Soleimani, former commander of the IRGC Quds Force, was killed in a U.S. drone attack in Iraq on January the 3rd, 2020.
On the first martyrdom anniversary of General Qasem Soleimani, senior Iranian officials have once again vowed to bring to justice the main perpetrators of his assassination in due time. According to Iranian officials, a lawsuit which has been filed in Iran against the U.S. for assassinating General Qasem Soleimani is in its final stage. And soon, a court session will be held in this regard. Salman Kujiri, Tehran.
After dozens of civilians, including Ghadi's government officials, were killed and injured in the attack on Aden Airport, the deputy head of the Emirati-backed Southern Transitional Council, Hani bin Barak, accused Qatar and Turkey of being behind it, ruling out that Sana'a was involved in it.
It's clear who's behind this latest attack in Aden Airport is the one who benefits the most from this attack, and is United Arab Emirates. United Arab Emirates and its forces in Aden, because United Arab Emirates doesn't want to be there a government which can actually express the term Yemen, or which can actually be in Aden. That's why United Arab Emirates, they want south of Yemen to be divided, all Yemen to be divided, so the United Arab Emirates can control Bab al-Mandab and the Bab al-Mandab Strait, and as well control Socotra Island. And
videos that went viral on social media showed that the missiles were launched from inside the Green City in Aden, which made observers accuse the SDC of seeking to push back Hadi's government to Riyadh hotels and fail the Riyadh agreement.
The Riyadh agreement implemented its objectives regarding the main interests of the Saudi and Emirati occupation authorities. Therefore, the Riyadh agreement formed this government to require it to implement the surrender of Yemeni sovereignty and not to administer any land controlled by the occupation forces.
The deputy head of SDC had preempted the arrival of the new Hadi government with a campaign to raise the flags of South Yemen in private and public facilities, including Aden International Airport, and he also warned members of the Hadi government not to talk about Yemeni unity, which confirms the continuing tension between the two parties to the conflict in southern Yemen.
There is no place for Hadi and his government in Aden. This is the message that the attack on the airport carried, meaning that Aden will continue to suffer under the rule of the militias of the UAE-backed STC. Abdul Latif Al-Washali, Sana'a.
We're back in the eye of the storm. These were the words of Simon Stevens, the head of Britain's National Health Service, as more people are in hospital with COVID-19 now than at the peak of the first wave earlier this year. Authorities are blaming the soaring infection rates on a new, more transmissible variant of the virus, first identified in Southeast England. Dr. Katie Sanderson of the Doctors Association has warned that the strain on hospitals is only going to get worse.
The volume of sick patients coming in with coronavirus is verging on unmanageable just in terms of ambulance capacity, A&E capacity and bed capacity. We haven't seen the patients who had coronavirus infections that they've contracted over Christmas yet because they're probably not sick enough to come to hospital yet.
Ambulances with infected patients have been forced to wait outside hospitals as capacity is overstretched. Many more infected individuals are forced to wait at home as ambulances are unable to meet the demands on the system.
This is something that we've just never experienced before. Control room staff are having to make incredibly difficult decisions to decide who gets an ambulance and in what order, quite often with huge numbers of people waiting for ambulances and they have nobody left to send.
A growing number of National Health Service staff are also off work because they are self-isolating or have become sick with the virus. Officials are now considering tightening coronavirus restrictions, with some suggesting a total nationwide lockdown to halt the spread of the new strain. Britain has recorded more than 71,000 confirmed coronavirus deaths, although some question the accuracy of the numbers when compared to mortality rates from previous years before the pandemic. According to the Office of National Statistics, the spike in fatalities for this year remains significantly higher than the government's official record of COVID fatalities.
This year will forever be remembered for the spread of COVID-19, but another, arguably more dangerous disease has spread rapidly too, hate. More specifically, hate against Muslims. Some of the most obvious examples can be seen in France, with the French President Emmanuel Macron pushing through anti-Islam legislation to prevent so-called Islamic separatism. In a later speech, the President condemned Islam as a religion in crisis, which radicalizes citizens.
Mais je demande à tout citoyen, quelle que soit sa religion.
And there is, in this radical Islam, since this is what the issue is, let's take it on board and let's name it. There is a will, a demand, an organized method to go against the laws of the Republic and create a parallel order based on the other values. Developing a separatist society first off with the goal of ultimately taking total control, and that's what they are doing, gradually, by rejecting the freedom of expression and freedom of thought.
Tensions in France additionally increased when the state publicly began defending insulting caricatures of the Prophet Muhammad. The row spilled over into violence with attacks against journalists on the 25th of September, a teacher beheaded by a lone wolf Takfiri on the 16th of October, and then on the 18th, two Muslim women wearing hijab were viciously stabbed by attackers screaming, "You dirty Arabs." Outside of France, things aren't much better, with numerous incidents of far-right Quran-burning protests occurring across Scandinavia. Between November 2019 and October 2020, at least four notorious Quran desecration rallies have been allowed, despite the fact that these protests offend millions. The Norwegian Prime Minister even publicly defended Islamophobes' rights to desecrate this holy book back in August. Then there is the Islamophobic ban on the Muslim niqab, a policy enforced by many countries, despite the fact that covering your face has been proven to save lives. Austria has also jumped on the bandwagon, punishing all Muslims for the acts of a small minority of criminals, introducing new laws intended to gag Muslims' freedom of speech.
In the fight against political Islam, the ideological basis behind it, we are going to create a criminal offence called political Islam, in order to be able to move against those who aren't terrorists, but are preparing the ground for it.
Across the English Channel, a new conspiracy has been widely circulating, claiming that Muslims are somehow responsible for spreading the coronavirus. These ideas are not supported by any facts. However, the belief was so widespread it had to be debunked by a government fact-checker website. These are just a few examples, but studies suggest that Islamophobia is present at nearly all levels of society. Vaccines are being produced to stop COVID-19, but what is being done to defeat racism against Muslims?
In the limelight.
The first confirmed case of a new and more transmissible strain of COVID-19 has appeared in the United States. While experts believe it is no more deadly than the prevalent strain and expect that the vaccines will still be effective against it, this new strain could be up to 70% more contagious. Dear listeners, stay with us for an article in this regard written by William Rivers Pitt Ryder. This article is published under the heading, "The New Strain of COVID May Have Already Coursed Through the U.S." Here's the details. The first confirmed case of a new and more transmissible strain of COVID-19 has appeared in the United States. While experts believe it is no more deadly than the prevalent strain and expect that the vaccines will still be effective against it, this new strain could be up to 70% more contagious. There are additional reports of the possible existence of a second case of the new strain, named B117, in the same Colorado county as the first. Both the confirmed case and the suspected instance involve men who had been working at the Good Samaritan Society assisted living facility in Simla, about 45 miles northeast of Colorado Springs, says CNN. The facility is home to 25 residents and suffered a COVID outbreak less than 3 weeks ago that claimed the lives of two of those residents. Some 40% of all COVID deaths in the U.S. have taken place in such facilities nationwide. The fact that the first man did not travel before becoming infected is an indicator to scientific investigators that B117 is already spreading within that Colorado community, and given its increased communicability, could already be widespread after the Thanksgiving and Christmas travel seasons. The lack of any meaningful national testing system in the U.S. or contact tracing platform makes determining this enormously difficult. Yet COVID remains COVID, even with a new nickname, and COVID is like water. It finds the cracks and the seams and the pinholes, and it pours straight through. By all reports, the new and more contagious strain of COVID is even more adept at this. Strain, an apt word for the moment. COVID has exploded across the U.S., tallying an average of 3,000 deaths per day. In California, where the crisis is now out of control, hospital gift shops are being turned into triage and ICU wards, and ambulances are being turned away. The medical community, already burdened beyond all human expectation, has nothing to look forward to but more of the same. We'll be right back. at Los Angeles County USC Medical Center, reports the Los Angeles Times, the breaking point came Sunday night. There was not one available bed for at least 30 patients who needed intensive or intermediate levels of care, and the hospital had to shut its doors to all ambulance traffic for 12 hours. Some patients, including the very sick who required intensive oxygen,